Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by The Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy stocks a wide selection of books covering Baltimore and the Chesapeake Bay region, many by local authors. Located at 6080 Falls Road, more information can be found at theivybookshop.com or by calling 410-377-2966.
I'm Dan Rodericks of the Baltimore Sun, and this is Roughly Speaking, episode 408, the first of a week-long series of conversations with Baltimore principals about what it's like to run a school in the city. Each of our guests have had some success. One turned around a failing school. Another has been on the job for 15 years and has steady progress to show for it. You'll hear two others talk about their unique ways of getting students to work harder to improve their grades in math and reading. And another is principal of a city high school with a high level of achievement among its college-bound students. So 5 days, five episodes of Roughly Speaking, and five principals. Each of the principals you'll hear from were winners of the 2018 Heart of the School Awards from the Fund for Educational Excellence. They were cited in May for their leadership and their school's achievements. We start the series with Matt Hornbeck, principal at Hampstead Hill Academy, a public charter school in southeast Baltimore. Matt Hornbeck has been principal at Hampstead Hill for 15 years, and his school is one of the city's top performers. Hornbeck, as you'll hear, is from a family of educators. In fact, his dad was once the Maryland State Superintendent of Schools. Matt Hornbeck runs an ethnically diverse school of more than 800 students in the elementary and middle school grades. He has, among other initiatives, an effective peer-supported conflict resolution program. But even with Hampstead Hill's success, Hornbeck faces major financial issues. The city has cut his operating budget each of the last 2 years. He's called that an ongoing tragedy because of the special challenges in educating kids from households in or on the borders of poverty. Matt Hornbeck is outspoken about Maryland's commitment to funding public education, the inequities and inadequacies of the system, and as you'll hear, he eagerly awaits the recommendations of the state's Kerwin Commission on Education. So 15 years.
15 years.
How does that feel, being into it 15 years at the same school?
It's the best job I'll ever have, by far. The opportunity to work with brilliant teachers on important issues that affect the common good and impact not just our community, but Baltimore and the state for the next generation is thrilling and awesome.
How do you think you're doing? I mean, how do you measure how you're doing, your school and those kids?
By parent satisfaction, qualities that are hard to measure, like joy. We have a very mature implementation of a fantastic program called Restorative Practices, and it should be implemented in city agencies and North Avenue and elsewhere here at the Sun. it's a terrific program that builds strong communities, and that's what we need right now.
What does that mean?
Restorative Practices has come out of the restorative justice world. When there's conflict, you basically ask three questions: what happened, who was affected, and what do you need to move on? And it doesn't mean that punitive measures aren't possible, but it means that you are part of a community and that the community is stronger than any one piece of it.
Are you talking about disciplinary problems with students? Or?
Yes, and with staff. Staff
conflicts?
Human conflicts. Which Baltimore seems to be in no short supply of right now.
Measure that because you bring that up because
it is one way that for us, office referrals, detentions, and suspensions have just plummeted, and I think that there is a lot to be said if it was done with fidelity to dramatically reducing violence in the city, and it's one of the reasons why many of our staff, including me, find that many moments during the workday that you could describe as flow, where you forget You forget the time because you're not watching the minutes on the clock because you're into the work and you like the work. And so for me, creating the workplace conditions for teachers so that they can teach and kids can learn is the whole game. So, you know, finding great teachers, getting kids outside of the school to have great experiences in our wonderful city and state, getting them into great high schools. I'm a City College grad, and both my kids went to City. My brother went to City. He's also a principal in City Schools. My wife's a school psychologist in City Schools. Father served as the state superintendent. So we've got education in Baltimore in our blood. I am very excited about the possibilities that the city presents, but we are in a very difficult place right now. And we are having a hard time finding the best people to lead and having a hard time with the devastating consequences of decades of poverty and racism resulting in unbelievable murder rates that are chasing the population away in some ways, which really hurts
schools.
That's
what I worry about. We saw a population drop, not just in the schools, but citywide,
yes,
for the first time in a while. For a few years there, things had stabilized.
Yes.
I remember in the 90s and through the 2000s, you know, we were losing 10,000 people a year. But then it stabilized, and then 2015 hit, and Freddie Gray fires, a day of rioting, and then 3 years or more now of 300-plus homicides, taking us back to the 90s, you know? And, yeah.
One of the hopeful pockets that I look to is in Southeast, where my school's located, the immigrant population is just booming, and wonderful Latino communities springing up and thriving. And you look at the growth in our part of the city. When I started, there were 380 kids at our school with only 2% Latino students. And now there are over 800 students and 40% Latino students. And that's happening all over Southeast. And so some of the schools where there is growing population, and we haven't been as intentional about welcoming that community as a city or a school district as we could be. And it would be my hope that we would work on that a little bit more, because that is some proverbial low-hanging fruit if you're looking for people.
Former mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake had that right.
Yeah.
She had a good message there. You know,
10,000
families. Come to Baltimore. To Baltimore. And I think that message needs to be repeated.
We need people. And we should be we've got great housing stock and great neighborhoods and reasonable prices compared to all these other cities. But we definitely need a plan for safety, public safety, that is in place, and people feel that, you know, it's not just changing the narrative. It would be actually proving that, as is the case for me, I went to school here, grew up here, raised a family here. My kids went to public school here. My son's going to college this year. My daughter's coming home actually to teach in City Schools. So, it's a place where you can find great food, great houses, great people. I mean, you know all the nooks and crannies.
Great schools.
You need great schools. You need great schools in more than 20 neighborhoods.
Yeah.
You need lots of amazing schools and places that people feel they can grow with the neighborhood, with the school. You don't need everybody at a school to look exactly like your kid. I mean, nobody wants to be the only anybody. But you've got to have a group of kids that, whatever race you are and whatever income level you are, you've got to have a group of kids that that will challenge you and engage you and are kind to you, and that the adults in the school are organized. So that doesn't mean you have to live at the end of a cul-de-sac somewhere where everything is identical in terms of race and income, but it does mean that you've got to have some baseline criteria for schools in terms of safety, cleanliness, those threshold issues that you look for when you walk into a school. And then the outcomes, parents care about test scores, but not as much as you might think. They want a place where their kid is that people like their kid, that the school is safe and clean, that there's opportunities for field trips and band and orchestra and art. They want the things that feed the soul, just like anybody does. I mean, they don't want their kid to be just good at filling in bubbles on a test.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking at high school and college and beyond just like we should be looking at that. They want more and better opportunities for their kid, just like we all do. So,
I mean, public safety is important, but I can't think of anything more important than educating the kids in the city and improving the schools, improving those outcomes and the feelings in the school environment. And, I mean, I'll just a little bit of politics here. I guess the state needs to maintain its commitment to Baltimore City. We have the highest concentration of poor families still in the state, and kids come to school with all kinds of deficits.
Yeah, the state has underfunded Baltimore City for a couple of decades now, to the tune of whichever number you're looking at, $290 to $358 million a year. And that's, like you said, Dan, the highest need students in the state. And we can do better. We can do better as a state. We are the wealthiest state and the wealthiest nation in the world. And our poorest kids, I mean, like Marion Wright Edelman says, what is the measure of our success? And it's how are your kids doing? And right now there's too many kids in Baltimore City that are not doing well. And we have some of the best special educators, some of the best teachers, some of the best principals in the whole state, in the whole country. We don't have enough of them. And we've got we've got the oldest schools in the state. A handful of schools are coming online in September under the 21st Century Buildings Program.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of work to be done. And I would encourage families and people who want to teach and want a challenge, a very rewarding challenge, to come check us out. And feel free, I'd love to give anybody a tour of our school or talk about how you might become a teacher in the city at a good school in a neighborhood that needs your help. Or if you are a young family deciding on whether to move to DC or Baltimore, find me at principalhornbeck@gmail.com and I'll tell you why you ought to come to Baltimore, because Baltimore's a great place.
What's the highlight of the school year for you? What's the moment of greatest joy being principal at Hampstead Hill?
So there's almost too many to count.
Give us a couple.
One is opening day, when everybody's dressed up and we actually have the Orioles bird and the Ravens mascot come in for a meet your teacher day and cookies and lemonade, and all the older kids come and they want to see their teacher as much as the kindergartners. Another is some street fairs we have in May called Hampstead Hill Nights, where again, it's really a moment to share our community and to be together.
Tell me, describe it.
So there's teachers are doing face painting, and there's live music. We have student performances, but we also have professional groups come play on Thursday nights when they don't have other gigs. We grill food out, and it's just a beautiful evening. Hmm. And we do it for three Thursdays in a row in May, and we've done it for about 12 or 13 years now, and dozens of our staff are involved, and hundreds of kids come with their families, and it's a moment for us to all be together. Another opportunity that I can't get enough of is we have a program called Leaders Go Places, and it's founded on five promises that the middle school kids make: to contribute to the common good, to conduct myself with honor and integrity, to persevere, to produce quality work, and to make no excuses. It's kind of a good recipe for life.
Yeah, but I like that.
Could you
write that down for me?
I will. I think you probably do a lot of those. Those are probably promises you keep. On every Friday, we have a community circle, which grows out of the restorative practices work we've done, where the students will actually stand up and acknowledge and thank each other and their teachers and they will stand up and apologize for things that have happened and how they will commit to not making those same mistakes. And middle school kids apologizing to each other and their teachers in a very genuine manner is really powerful. And then we have announcements and guest speakers and that, again, these moments when we're all together. And then the final thing I can think of is eighth grade closing. When this is the first time many of the boys, which I will use as the example here, first time they've worn a tie, and they've seen me in a tie for 10 years, pre-K to eighth grade. Many, many of our students stay for the whole elementary, middle school experience. And they've always known me as the principal, and they will ask me to tie their tie. And many of them at this point are taller than I am. So I'm reaching up to help them tie their tie as they're having their last day after 10 years with me and going on to City, Poly, Western, Dunbar, Cristo Rey, St. Paul's, Friends, you know, some of the best schools in the area. And it's just very, very rewarding to see them make that transition. And of course, then it's fun to have them come back and say hi. Yeah, I wish there were more opportunities like that. And it's hard. Many of us who are working at successful schools have the very, very difficult task of having long, long waiting lists because families are searching for schools that are going to meet the needs of their kids. And that's just not possible. The seats don't exist right now. I think that's
and your classrooms are full.
Oh yeah, we're in the low 30s, and that's a direct result of unbelievably harsh budget cuts, where our school lost $500,000 last year and another $500,000 this year.
And that's because of population loss, student population?
Or? Yeah, student population loss is one thing. They're actually, for schools that have significant numbers of Latino students, and there are about 17 schools like that in the city, 17 out of 180. But for schools that have significant Latino populations, they are unfortunately undercounting students, Latino students, or I should say children from immigrant families is the proper way to describe the group that they're undercounting, thus throwing the poverty rate and the funding that comes along with the poverty rate into a tailspin at certain schools, including mine. And so in addition to the loss of overall enrollment in the district, and I'll describe it briefly, but breakfast and lunch are free for everyone in Baltimore City under a federal program called the Community Eligibility Program. And instead of lunch applications, the district decided to use, as a proxy for poverty, public assistance roles. And so children from immigrant families do not appear on public assistance roles at the same rate as their citizen peers. Mm. And so that depresses and undercounts that population. And so that's another more technical reason why there's been a significant loss of tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars at a subset of schools. And that's been really hard.
And that's why the state funding is so important.
Absolutely. Kerwin, we all need to do everything we can to, once these five key Kerwin Commission recommendations are costed out, we need to figure out not only how to dedicate the casino money to public education as it was promised and, you know, finally happened this year in session, but also to make sure that the roughly $2 billion in state funding and $1 billion in local funding for a total of $2.9 or $3 billion propels Maryland back to being in the top two or three rather than down in the middle of the pack in the 20s or 30s, depending on how you count it. We are no longer close to the top of the nation in terms of school funding and school programming and school performance. So we need a pipeline of diverse, highly qualified, well-paid teachers. You know, you can make 40 to 70% more money with the same degrees doing jobs other than teaching. So why would you teach if you can make 40 to 70% more with the same degree? Takes a committed individual, and I'm not saying we can't get committed individuals, but at some point, if the most important thing in your life is your kid, then you want the person who makes the biggest difference in your kid's life, the teacher who's standing in front of your child for many, many, many more hours a day than parents unfortunately have the opportunity to do so, to be well compensated and to really attract the best people. You know, there's training for vocational education, coding and technical skills that are in demand in business today. You need to come out of high school with certifications that will earn you a living wage and then some, so you could raise a family. And some districts around the country are doing that. We are not doing that yet. And Kerwin has these recommendations. As you said a moment ago, a weight for concentrated poverty. We know that it costs more money and that there are more mental health supports that are needed for students who are traumatized by the effects of living in poverty. There was a recent, you may have seen, I can't remember where I read it, may have been in the Times or the Sun, 42% of people exiting prison said that they had witnessed a killing as a child, when they were a child, and then that violence gets cyclically perpetuated. And we just have to take care of our communities, because it's not happening. We haven't really tried yet, and we need to try to take care of our communities.
Matt Hornbeck is the principal at Hampstead Hill Academy in Southeast Baltimore, a public charter elementary middle school. Matt Hornbeck was one of the recipients of the 2018 Heart of the School Awards from the Fund for Educational Excellence. Coming up in the second of our five conversations with Baltimore principals, we'll speak with Kimberly Hill Miller of Lockerman Bundy Elementary School in West Baltimore. I'm Dan Rodericks. Thanks for listening to Roughly Speaking, and we'll see you again for our next show.